Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Frontline Fridays, where we explore the hearts and minds of the leaders who elevate the retail and hospitality frontlines to greatness. What's their secret? We are here to find out. This show is brought to you by Ubik, the AI-powered mobile app that gives frontline teams the performance tools they need to communicate, learn, and work right in the palm of their hand. And I'm Ron Thurston, your guide on this journey today, and I'm coming to you live with a background that you may not recognize. I'm at the Luxury Retail Council meeting here in Miami. I'm in a weird private room in Cipriani, but no worries, the show goes on. And I'm excited to speak to the Luxury Retail Council this afternoon about, of course, frontlines and hiring and training. But more importantly, this is our last show of season one as we quickly approach the 2024 holiday season. And so be on the lookout for some announcements about season two soon. Our guest lineup has already begun. And if you're a frontline leader in retail and hospitality that would like to be a guest on the show, you can feel free to message me directly at ron@useaussie.com and we can speak about it. But most importantly, I should say, is we want to get to our great guest today. And as we jump into the very important holiday season for so many people, I can't think of a better brand or person who represents this brand to tell us how they do it. So Chris Freeman is the Senior Vice President of Store Operations for Michaels and is a dynamic retail executive with over 30 years of experience driving growth and innovation in the industry. He's held leadership roles across various retail segments, including asset protection, loss prevention, safety, food safety, store ops, custom framing, and wholesale B2B business sales. With a passion for customer experience and a knack for building high-performing teams, Chris has consistently delivered results while fostering a culture of collaboration and excellence, which is really where we're going to dig in today. Beyond the boardroom, Chris is a devoted father who values his family time and strives to instill strong work ethics and values in his three children. He also manages a thriving cattle ranch, I think where he's coming from today, embracing the challenges and rewards of agricultural life, instilling a love of nature and hard work in his family. Balancing a successful career in retail with ranching and family life, Chris exemplifies the qualities of a true leader: vision, resilience, and a commitment to nurturing future generations of outstanding servant leaders. So with that, I will say, Chris, welcome to the show.
Ron, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for that great introduction. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well deserved. And so as I mentioned for Michaels, we're going to dig into, you know, who you are and what you do and how you do it and the role that Michaels plays in the industry. But I wanted to let you set the stage for the brand, the store count and people, and why this is such an important player in our industry.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're based out of Irving, Texas, all across North America. So we've got 1,350 stores. So we're proud to be in the US and in Canada. Our Canada business is very strong. We've got a great team up there as well. And we're comprised of over 30,000 team members and growing very rapidly. As we know, the peak season is upon us. So we're bringing in our peak season staffing right now. And Michaels, it's just a great part of the retail segment. Now, what I tell you is the perspective I've had of working in different retail segments is the craft segment is my favorite one of all. And the reason being is that we have the most amazing customer base out of any sector of retail. We really do. Our customers, they want to be in our stores. They don't have to be in our stores, and they're very passionate about it. And Michaels plays into that space. It's, you know, it's a highly competitive segment of retail. And we're proud to be the industry leader, but we don't take that for granted. And, you know, we really embrace our people, our culture, the team. And I think if you look at Michaels just in this space, you know, we're leading in this particular segment of retail, you know, across the lines of technology and really just moving cultures forward and driving the customer experience. So it's a really great company. I've been here for a long time and I really enjoy it.
Incredible. And speaking of technology, you are a Ubik customer, and we're not going to go into that, but, you know, part of the fun of, you know, thinking about employee experiences is how you use technology, as you mentioned. And you and I are both going to be at NRF in a couple of months, where we'll get to spend some time together, and you're going to do some work on behalf of UVic there and speak about the success you've had. So congratulations on that.
Thank
But
you. Yeah, we're looking.
I want to spend more time about you and your leadership, because you have a really unique background, as I mentioned, in farming and cattle ranching and growing up in law enforcement. Like, you have a fascinating background, and I want to understand how that has influenced your leadership today, running this massive business.
Absolutely. No, I bless them. I'm back to my roots is what I say. On my cattle ranch, we're east of or west of the DFW Metroplex. But I was very fortunate. I got to grow up in on a horse ranch in California, and I had two parents that were my role models and heroes. And we ran a family business of equestrian show jumpers. And after my dad retired, he had a disability. He was injured in a pursuit, a bank robbery pursuit. He was injured and had to retire early from his career with the FBI. My mom was in the narcotics detective, and decided to leave her career in law enforcement and pursue her passion and her dream. So she is one of the bravest female leader that I've ever known, and was certainly the central figure of my life. And really kind of shaped a lot of what I do today around my work ethic, the way that I lead with empathy, and really just, work with the team and my connection with people. So as a family business and in sales, we had a very diverse customer base, and it was such a great experience running a family business. It taught us, discipline and excellence and competitively, how to drive to win in those things. So it was a great background and foundation for me, Ron, to get started
Yeah.
into the business.
I mean, what a beautiful story about your mom. Thank you for sharing that. And
Yeah.
having those kinds of role models around you. And I'm assuming then that led into starting in loss prevention, asset protection side of our business, which we've had one guest on the show this season from that world, but I feel like that world often doesn't get the credit it deserves of the influence and the important role that it plays in all of, whether it's, of course, safety, but more importantly, creating this kind of sense of an environment that is a great place to shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and I think like a lot of us in retail, we fell into it. We didn't intend to be in retail, right, for our careers. So I was in college studying law enforcement. I was testing with LA County Sheriff's Department, and I was working for May Company in sales. And I came across our loss prevention team, and I was just fascinated. And it was obviously a natural tie over, and it's in my DNA, with coming from a law enforcement family. And just that whole process. So I actually pursued the leadership team there, and expressed my interest. Was fortunate enough to get an opportunity. And what I would tell you is, I had an amazing leader. His name was Leo Anguiano at May Company, and he had an opportunity for me to become a full-time team member, and then eventually a manager at May Company and go in their management development training program, which was foundational for me starting out my retail career. So I decided to pursue retail versus law enforcement, and it has been such an amazing experience for me. And just I naturally obviously gravitated towards that. I'm fascinated by the investigative process. I love making connections with data and getting to root causes and finding where the opportunities are. And I think also the connection with people. So, combining it at the same time and being able to sit down, with employees that may have engaged with dishonest activity and talking to them, treating them with respect, but connecting with people in order to be able to get to a resolution there. And so it was great. And I agree with you. I don't think we give enough credit to the team, because they keep our stores safe, but they also keep us profitable at the same time. They're underpinnings of a lot of what we do out there in the industry.
And you had mentioned that you are kind of considered like this the fix it guy, or you can
Right.
solve things and you can like uncover the root causes pretty quickly and go in and where does that come from, and is that still your reputation today?
Oh, absolutely. No, it's one of those. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. I love, and I think there's a lot of leaders like this. I love to go into where there's an opportunity to build back better. So, I would say it's harder sometimes going in where, things are running effectively at a very high level. I really love going in to see where are the moving parts and pieces at currently, and how can you put them back together and get that particular part of the company or that business back on track? And I think it, also lies with some of the things I just mentioned with, kind of that investigative process of really diving into to the data, but also just like being a good listener. Like, to me, that's what it taught me throughout the years is, getting into these chaotic environments sometimes, don't make assumptions. You listen to the team that's closest to the customer and to the problem and, be empathetic to their situation. And then come up with a solution that's going to have a long-term sustainable fix. Anybody can come in and make a short-term fix, but if you really get into the root causes, and it always goes really back down to people, and that positive, the positive power of influence, right? And I always say there aren't any problems; there's only solutions. So how do you get in there and create solutions with that team that are sustainable, and you can see that business flourish? And I've seen it so many different times, and it's so rewarding. And really, at the end of the day, is about a team. And what's funny is, it's a lot of the times, Ron, you can do it with the same existing team members that were there. They just needed the right leadership and guidance and get them moving in the right direction. So it's very rewarding when you can do that.
Very rewarding. I could not agree more. And it's this, there's what you don't want to judge is prior leadership, maybe why they were not delivering the results, or that they didn't maybe have the right product or the right resources or whatever that may be. I've always taken this approach of, don't judge what someone else did prior. Let's stand where we are today and understand root cause and work toward a solution. And exactly. Right, I've been in those situations where I felt like they told me flat out coming in, we're about to leave. Like, this is a horrible place to work. And I'm like, you know what? Bring it on. I'm ready. And my last role, same zero turn on my leadership team in 3.5 years, zero turn. Amazing. For that reason, we're going to win together. And I think that people follow leaders like that. It sounds like that's how you approach this too.
No, 100%, 100%. It can be a little disheartening too, especially when you love the company that you work for and you walk in and you see an area or a business that doesn't reflect the brand. And it's like you feel a personal commitment to getting it back very quickly too, because this is like our values, everything that our customer sees every single day, what our brand stands for. If it's not reflective of that, and if it's way off the grid, you've got to pull it back very quickly. It's absolutely critical.
I want to jump into Michael's a little bit and this kind of mantra that you have of that you belong at this craft table. And in hearing just that sentence has so much power. So I wanted you to unravel that for all of us.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I love about Michael's, when you walk into the support center, or if you're in one of our break rooms, our team members pass by our values. And it's very intentional, and you see them right when you walk in. And then if you're going to jump on the elevator on the first floor to go up, or you're moving your way through the lobby, there's a big sign that you said, this is, you belong at this craft table. And to me, it really is reflective of the Michael's brand and our culture. And it's something I am so proud of. And we really bring this to life through our resource groups. So, I can tell you that they are integrated into the daily activities, into the fiber of our business, in our interactions back and forth. We have 7 resource groups inside of the company that really activate this culture of inclusivity that we have at Michael's. And I am so proud to be a part of it. And I've seen other companies where, they've got resource groups, but when you see the energy that comes to life inside of a Michael's, both in our stores as well as at the support center, it's really amazing. In our veterans group, we have our This Is Faith, we have our Pride resource group, we have our Black Leaders of Diversity, our HACER for Hispanic Connections, Asia Connect. It crosses the entire spectrum, and it's something that we're very proud of. Because in our competitive landscape, we don't have to share the same type of values. It's something that differentiates us as a brand as well. It's something I'm very proud of.
Yeah. And was that, let me back up, and part of some of those trends have happened the last 4 years. Was this Michael's prior? This was always Michael's? And because I think brands often struggle with this, how do we maintain the momentum over time, and how does this become part of of our culture, and it's just who we are. Give us a little sense of the evolution of those, because this is something that I think it gets hot and cold pending company priorities and results.
Yeah, and I've got 20 years of experience at Michaels. I can tell you it has been an evolution. And it's something, especially over the last 5 years, I would tell you that we've really seen a very intentional and deliberate focus on the resource groups. We actually have a team that manages this, so we're dedicating resources to bringing it to life. And they do such an amazing job. And I would tell you that we have evolved through time of expanding the resource groups as well. And that's based on feedback from our team members. As we've evolved both from the field as well as at the support center. And I think that's the thing I'm most excited about is, it's not just in this one silo where everything is created. You see that across the entire organization where the team members are giving us feedback and we're responding to that, whether it's operational processes or whether it's our resource groups, cultural things. Our values were literally created by the field and then obviously validated by the support center and our executive team. But it's this collaboration that I feel at Michaels that, especially over the last couple of years, has really evolved. And it's something I'm so proud of.
And you should be, as I imagine they are. You talk about retail pride. You speak about, like, why do you choose this industry? It may have been accidental, but you stay with brands and you stay with leaders because they celebrate who you are, that you
Exactly.
belong. You're continually provided resources and tools and training and technology to do your job well. And so what you're describing is this sense of retail pride that is so powerful. And at the same time, they may love whatever their favorite crafts are. So they also then get to do it. They get to teach it, I would imagine. They get to share their passion with customers coming in. And so I think there's such an important kind of cycle of potential employee retention that falls under what you're describing.
Absolutely. And a good example of that, Ron, that I would share with you, we have our ability resource group. So for the disabled, and it's something that we've really leaned into over the last 4 years. We have created a program of disability inclusion and hiring in our stores. And I welcome our retail partners out there. If they want to learn more about the Michaels program, feel free to reach out to me. But we are literally, we call it Makers Like Me. And it's a program where we are literally taking the largest minority population across the globe, and especially across North America, that are underemployed, and we are giving them opportunities, making accommodations, and getting them inside of our stores and throughout the various networks, our distribution center, our artistry manufacturing, the custom framing side, our support center, and we are offering jobs to these folks, and it is absolutely amazing. Better retention, better safety. And their productivity is on par with everybody else. We're on track, Ron, to hire almost 1,000 people in this program over the last 4 years and growing. I mean, that's an example of how we've been evolving, through the last couple of years. I'm the executive sponsor for the Ability Group, so something I'm very, very passionate about. But it's like that's what differentiates, us as a retailer from me and in this segment within the craft industry. It's just we're so proud of that type of an effort, and that type of a culture that we're creating. It's really cool.
And imagine what they are then also sharing with their friends and family, about their experience working there. It becomes this very much about kind of filling everyone's bucket of pride around the fact that they feel very seen and employed and trained to do what they do so well. And it's really beautiful
Absolutely.
what you're describing. Is
Yeah, well,
there
100%.
are there have you seen and this sense of retention through these employee resource groups, about how you've been able to maintain a higher rate of retention if you are part of a group. Share something about that.
No, absolutely. And I could tell you very specifically with Ability, we actually we're tracking the retention there. And it is well above our average inside of not only Michaels, but the retail industry averages. Safety record is better, as I mentioned, productivity is on par. But I would also tell you across just the broader group of our resource groups, if you will, when you're a part and you can make a connection that way. It absolutely creates retention and it creates a buzz and energy out in the stores too. And like I said, it's a differentiator for us. So things that we celebrate. So when we run a, so let's say our Pride Month, there is a concerted effort across the entire organization where, everybody's getting involved. We get out into the local parades. We have a merchandising feature in our stores. We're connecting with customers, but more importantly, our employees that are a part of that resource group and culture, they have a connection with us, right? So, and I could say the same, across the gamut of the rest of them. Our veterans resource group, it's an area that we're leaning into and growing as well. The veteran spouses, making sure that we're reaching out to that broader group. So it absolutely makes a difference on retention, but more importantly, it's like this energy inside of the company. It just makes you really, really proud to be there,
And the customer knows it. And so at the same, it's also really good for business because the customers also, you become a promoter for the brand because the customers know you have these resource groups and they may have a friend or a family member that's part of it and they tell other people. So like those moments, and I think our ability in this industry, kind of what this show has been all about, of highlighting and celebrating leaders who are doing great things and shining a light on great work around employee retention and training and development. And you're doing exactly that. And so what a great way to kind of recap this season too, of a brand like yours that has taken this very seriously.
No, definitely. No,
Thank
it's
you.
and integrating it into the communications. And so I would tell you that our communities inside of our YOUBIC platform that we use are very, very active and engaged. So we encourage our resource groups to be, actively engaged within that environment as well as, all the other forms of communication that we have out there too. So it's like a full 360 view all the way through. It's really is.
It's incredible. And you had also mentioned to me over the last several weeks this idea of shifting to more of a full-time workforce versus part-time, because that obviously has an influence on retention, but it also is career building. You're making leadership training investments. You're building for the future in a very large store count business, which is you start a May company. Like, you don't build a May company business without a strategic manpower plan and strategy and some shifting some of that. So tell us why that decision was made and how that's influencing the field.
So I will give 100% credit to our CEO, Ashley Buchanan. He has come in, and it's kind of counterintuitive because in the 20 years that I've been with Michaels, I haven't had a CEO that's kind of supported this type of a mindset. And we call it a store pillar strategy. And how do we, we have a team member promise. So how do we have this? We offer our team members a place to develop and to grow their career and prioritize well-being at the same time. Intentionally behind that, and the strategy that he's helped us to develop is shifting away. We know, part-time workforce, obviously, that's the part of retail that we all manage into, especially this time of year with seasonals. But expanding that ratio for us and getting a little bit closer to something where we can offer more career pathing and growth simultaneously on the retention side, right? Because we know part-time turnover is obviously much higher than from a full-time perspective. We're getting better productivity, right? So we're offering career pathing and showing team members how they can grow up inside of the organization, whether it's out in the field. I mean, we literally have, this is the best part about Michaels. We have district managers, Ron, that started as part-time cashiers and are now
Love
district
it.
managers. And so that's the kind of thing that we love about just the retail industry in general, right? Is you can come in as an average just every day and you can have this amazing career journey. And we want to make sure at Michaels we have that. So this shift more to that higher penetration is allowing you to do that simultaneously for business. It's given us consistency in routines and helping you on the productivity side and then helping with retention too. So I'm really excited about where we're going with this as well.
That's great. And are you continuing to develop then next level leadership training? That person who is a district manager today, requires every step of their journey new training, leadership training. And I think generally when you think about the retail specialty retail industry, sometimes that part is missed. Like, you're a really great store manager. Tomorrow you're a district manager. But there's nothing that would create training along the way. How are you guys thinking about that?
No, we have a very prescriptive plan that our HR partners, our learning and development team, we've got a vice president that's over the top of this that I work with, Kevin Updegrove, who has created, this entire path forward. So a couple of components, leadership essentials. So from the top all the way down, talking about leadership essentials and leaning into training around how they can become better listeners, more engaged with people. And that's really like, and I give again Ashley Buchanan a lot of credit, like this shift in focus of our culture of making sure that we have a value, we put people first. It is the first one that you see when you walk in, and then we're better together. We literally are making sure that we are pivoting our district manager tours, our leadership communications, the ways that we're really focused around people. So making sure that we're taking the time as we're in there, not just getting through a checklist, but making sure that we're spending time talking to people. How are you doing? Telling them about the company. Are you interested in growing with the company? And if they are, then they have this progression of things where they can go into, whether it's micro learnings. And that's one of the benefits I've got in the Ubic platform now. Micro learnings, I'm getting a huge, huge win out of. So just starting that conversation, with anybody that's interested, all the way to formalized training where we bring into the support center for an entire week experience and we teach you through. And then in partnership with our mid-level managers, getting them ready for the next step. So they're very intentional about a career pathing that has learning that's associated with the journey. It's really powerful.
Incredible. And at the same time, we've spoken a little bit about this on the show. We're also in an era where we've got multiple generations, often 4 generations of employees in the same store. And so that what you're describing around learning and development and how people learn is different by generation. And so you can't apply the same checklist mentality to everyone on the team. You can't, because people learn differently. They utilize different tools. I think separate conversation around employee reviews and touch bases and career path conversations. They're very different now when you have this many generations that work in the same store. And I'm sure that's the case for you, given your large employee count.
Yep, 100%.
I want to kind of wrap up the last few minutes here of just around the values. And you had this phrase around, the values, batteries not included, and how this shows up in this work, because what you've described the last half an hour is a company and a leadership team fully dedicated to the values of your company. And so tell us more about what that phrase means and how you make this come to life every day.
Absolutely. So the way I look at values, there's companies that, put a mission statement up on the wall, that put values, here's what we stand for. But is there energy that is very intentional that goes into the development and the infusion of those values into everything that you do? And so if there's a disconnect, then you're not going to really see those come to life. And so for me, it's where you're very deliberate and intentional around how we communicate, what we communicate, and then role modeling. I have a saying, the answer is yes, no, what's your question? How do you get to that? It's a way that, through our values, that's something that if you stand for that, you're going to put people first and they're going to ask you a tough question. You got to be there for them. You got to find a way to yes. And you'll find a way to a common ground. And we have another one at the book in is We're Better Together, as I've talked about. So bringing those things to life. But you have to role model that as well every single day from the executive team all the way down. We have an amazing fleet of district managers. And they're the ones that also bring these things to life with our store managers. They are the tip of the spear to make sure that we're seeing it. But so again, it's almost like that same concept of the full 360 view. But if you're not putting energy into those values, you're not going to see the return on your process. And I really do see them as the energy source that activates everything else in your company.
And you are held accountable to it, because exactly to your point is, if you model it, or you make a decision, or there's something that is kind of sent from your desk, that all of it is aligned with what you speak about and show up and model. It's policy procedure, it's asset protection. Everything aligns with the same scope of your values and your commitment to this. And it's a big responsibility, but clearly it works when done well. And I
100%.
admire that for you. Any kind of closing thoughts for the holidays as we wrap up this episode for your
Now, you
team?
know what? I know it's been a crazy year for retail for all of us. So I think that we're excited about just getting through this peak season safely and profitably. But I know at Michael's, we are primed and ready. We've been managing through all of the craziness with the port delays and everything else. But we are so excited because I don't think our stores have ever looked better at Michael's. And so really excited about the back half of the year and what we're going to be able to do to bring the holidays to life and really engage with our customers along the way. So thank you for the opportunity today, Ron. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So it's great. As I mentioned to you, my mom is I would call her a professional quilter who spends a lot of time in Michaels. So I will
Thank you.
make
It's
sure
one of the
that
reasons. Thank
she
you.
goes in and buys lots of fabric and thread, which is her favorite thing to do. So thank you. Thank you for this. And it was a pleasure having you as the kind of last guest of the season. And I look forward to seeing you in January at
That's great.
NRF.
Thank you so much.
It'll be fun. Thank you. All right. And so for our listeners, keep learning and inspiring. Go to ubik.com, and under the resources page, you'll find the entire season one of the show where you can watch it on YouTube, listen on your favorite podcast channel. If you're searching for next generation communication, micro learning, and task management tools to guide your frontline teams into the future, check out what Ubik can do. Just click on the link in the comments. And with that, I will say happy holidays to everyone. Have a great rest of your year. And we will see you in January with season two. So thank you, everyone.